And a pleasant good morning to you wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This is indeed the Sugar Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, our Street Farm Radio. Should be nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this show part of your Tuesday morning commute in the greater Boston area. As always, I appreciate you, the listener, who listens into the show whenever I'm on the air. And frankly, your support never goes unnoticed. And as always, you can call into the show at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. But the show is going to be on a little bit of a wrinkle, if you will, for a little bit because of my work schedule. I'm doing the show remote, so I won't have access to the phone in front of me, but you can still call into the show and leave a message. And when I do get in the studio, or someone will in fact email me the voice messages that you, the listener, the fans, email me, probably want to yell at me and say, "You're wrong about something around Shukri. How could you?" But you know what? It is what it is. But either way, happy to be here with you. Happy to be back. Not able to do the show last week due to some unforeseen circumstances on my part. But either way, we got a lot to get into, so we're going to just get right into it. First and foremost, if there's one thing that I genuinely cannot stand in sports, and that is fans who take the time to absolutely just complain, gripe, moan about needing to change certain rules when things don't happen and things don't go their way. I, for one, cannot stand it. I, for one, hate it. I hate it so much so that I figure that this morning will be the morning that I do things different. And that is really rip into the hearts and the souls of baseball fans who feel the need to completely change the postseason format after their team gets eliminated from the postseason. Why do you need to change it exactly? Do you need to change it because you feel that your team was unfairly impacted by the new postseason format that went into effect this year when both the Players Association and the owners agreed to the new collective bargaining agreement? Is that why? Or is it the fact that you can't stomach the idea that two 100-plus win teams, actually make that three, the Mets, Braves, and the Dodgers, all got eliminated within the first round that they played in the postseason? Can we be honest just for one moment? That bothers you because you feel that they should have moved on and been able to advance into whatever round that they would have gone to, and who knows what would have happened? Is that what it is? Well, let me put it to you this way. Here is a beautiful thing in life called you get what you deserve. Life isn't fair. In sports, we oftentimes walk around with this false sense of entitlement, feeling that we are owed fairness, when in reality, you are given a platter of absolute horse crap sometimes. Because life will tend to throw you a curveball. Sports is the same way. And especially baseball. Don't even get me started. Baseball is a sport full of curveballs. That's a fact. Baseball is a game full of curveballs in which that you are going to be asked time and time again, make adjustments and hit the curveball. When you can't hit the curveball and you've shown the inability to adjust to hit the curveball, guess what happens? You get sent down to the minor leagues. In this case, you're being asked to march to the sidelines. The Mets, Dodgers, and as well as the Atlanta Braves, the former defending World Series champion Atlanta Braves, all got asked to march to the sideline. And that was why? Because they got exposed. They couldn't adjust to hitting the curveball. I mean, I'm sure there were swing and misses during each game of the inability to hit the curveball. But in this case, I'm talking about they are not victims of the new postseason formats. So baseball fans, I want to ask you to do one thing and one thing very nicely for me this morning, and that is shut the hell up, please. Like, seriously, shut the hell up. Because you complaining about the postseason format isn't going to do you or your team any favors. Let me turn my attention to the Atlanta Braves, New York Mets, and the Los Angeles Dodgers here. Starting with the Dodgers, especially the Dodgers. After that asinine headline that the Los Angeles Times decided to print out on Saturday, and seeing that headline in around Twitter spaces, I said to myself, you know what? I want the Dodgers to lose. Because life often gives you exactly what you deserve. That is not an opinion. That's a fact. The Dodgers have a history of having superb regular seasons, and suddenly come October, when the lights shine brightest, they choke. This is their DNA. Things haven't changed since 2013. Yes, there are those that are going to say out there, well, they won the World Series in 2020. Yeah, with no fans. Yeah, in a 60-game season. I'm not saying that it doesn't count. But let's be honest with ourselves. You really want to win a championship over the course of a 162-game season. That's what it's about. But either way, the Dodgers, this is not their first time that they've won 100-plus games only to lose in the division series. I'm going to remind all of you, back in 2019, the Dodgers won 106 games. And guess what happened? They lost in the division series to who? The eventual world champion Washington Nationals, who are on a magical October run of their own. But here's the truth. The truth is that people that are upset over the postseason format are the ones who can't come to grips within themselves that their team absolutely crapped the bed. Now to the New York Mets. The New York Mets absolutely choked. That's not even debatable. They choked in October. And they sure as hell choked down the stretch. They had a 10.5 game lead over the Atlanta Braves, who overtook them to during the final weekend of the regular season. All you had to do was win one game. One game in Atlanta. And you would have been division champions. You wouldn't have had to play in the wild card round. But here's what's funny. Even Met fans are complaining about, well, this postseason format is not fair. Tough diddly do. You didn't take care of business. So guess what happens? You have to pay the price. And the price was you played the Padres, whom a lot of people in baseball within the baseball pundits said, man, that is a dangerous team out there. Oh, yeah, sure as hell was. Especially with Blake Snell and a healthy Mike Clevinger, plus Yu Darvish doing his thing. Come on. What more can you possibly ask for? And then, of all things to think of, the fact that the Mets fans are even talking about this is completely asinine. And then now the Atlanta Braves, who are going to get their fair share of smoke. Brave fans should have no reason to complain whatsoever. You did not play good baseball against the Philadelphia Phillies. You were sloppy. You didn't pitch well. You could not live up to the moment when the game shifted to Philadelphia for games 3 and 4. The moment that Rhys Hoskins hit that home run, you never really recovered. Because we all remember that fateful inning in Game 3, Braves-Phillies. They never recovered. After going on an absolute tear from June 1st on through the end of the regular season, having the best record in baseball, you overtake the Mets and you lose in the divisional series. So, I like to understand why are the fan bases of these three teams, plus other baseball fans who are crying foul over this new postseason format, why are they complaining? Why are you complaining? What exactly is there to complain about? Can you explain that to me? I don't think there's anything to really complain about. In fact, you want things to go your way, to be perfect, so that you can feel better about yourselves. Instead of coming to grips with the fact that you did not perform up to par when things mattered the most. So no, if I'm Major League Baseball, I'm telling these baseball fans, go kick sand. Go kick sand. Go pound sand. That's what I'm telling you. Because if there's one thing in life that is proven to be true time and time again, when you show the inability to step up when the moment matters most, you are the victim of your own undoing. This wasn't a case of a bad call or a bad penalty or just some sort of misfortune. No, this wasn't a case of the misfortune. This was a case of, oh my God, my team had to play in the wild card round and it got hosed. Shut up. Just shut up, please. You got what you deserved. And you had to pay the price because you did not show up. Ultimately, what I've come to realize as I was reading through the Twitter comments on Monday, and I'm seeing people complaining, crying left and right, even seeing baseball writers and pundits like Mike Lupica, a longtime baseball writer in New York for the Daily News, basically having to scream on top of their lungs on Twitter about why is it that you fans, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but he basically was saying, you want baseball to change its postseason formats because your team failed? Get a grip of yourselves. This is the equation of, I want a trophy too, so we all must get participation trophies, and we must have a system where everybody gets a participation trophy. That's not how life works. That's not sports. That's not reality. So if you want to continue to live in this warped reality of, well, I must get this trophy because I am entitled. I worked so hard all regular season to win 95 plus games, 100 plus games, or whatever the amount is. And yet, when it came time for you to step up to the plate, you couldn't even do that. No. No. We have become a generation full of sissified individuals that have translated over into sports, feeling that we were wrong because we did not like the system that was created. Tough tiddly. Deal with it. Deal with it. Because what aggravates me to no end is you, and I'm talking about those who are complaining about the postseason format and all that fun stuff, do me this favor and ask yourself this following question. If your team had advanced into the NLCS or the NLDS or wherever else, would you still be complaining? No, the answer is no. Exactly. So don't sit here and talk about, well, my team is wrong. I don't think it's fair. Why does the team that wins 100 games got to get penalized? Hey, have y'all forgotten that October baseball is the best playoffs there is in the sports? Why? Because anything can happen. Where was that same complaint when the wild card game, the singular wild card game, was a thing for 10 postseasons from 2012 to 2021? Where was that, with the exception of 2020? Where was that same complaint when the wild card team, the wild card playoff team, was introduced in 1995? I'm pretty sure a lot of you baseball purists didn't like it back then. But the millennium era, but this millennial group of people that are crying about, oh, this is an unjust system, like, you are absolutely the worst. You are the worst. You are probably the same ones who were basically complaining over, why is there 7 playoff teams in each conference in the NFL and the AFC and the NFC? Hey, yes, you. Because there's one team that'll have a bye instead of 2 like it was before. And you just have to basically duke it out on wild card weekend. One and done. That's what it is. It's absurd that we've come to this level of mediocrity in society and in sports, whereas we should be celebrating change, yet a lot of folks are criticizing this change in baseball, in which that I thought the wild card round was really good. Not just that, but it provided a fascinating yet compelling, entertaining product for baseball. Something that the sport has been lacking for a very long time now. But yeah, we want to complain about how our team was wronged. Give me a break. Give me a break. Coming up next on the other side of this break, there's something that is beginning to crawl under my skin. And I am going to unload on this very fact that I am seeing now more than ever with a particular fan base in the NFL. I'm going to tell you exactly what that is. Coming up next, we'll return to the Sugar Right Show, 91.5 FM, WMFO, in Medford, Tuskegee Farm Radio.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick, and proud aunt. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing. But not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. 1 in 6. That little girl sitting alone at the playground, she can't play like the other kids. She doesn't have the energy because she's hungry. School lunch will be her only meal today. It breaks my heart that this is the reality in our country, but it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste. This food is then provided to families and children in need. Being a kid should be about using your imagination, learning, and having fun. These children shouldn't have to miss out on simply being a kid because they're hungry. To find out how you can help end childhood hunger in your community, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
There's one thing you can never have sex without.
It's not something you buy.
Or something you take.
In fact, there's only one way to get it.
It has to be given to you, freely.
It's consent.
Because sex without it isn't sex.
It's rape. Consent.
If you don't get it, you don't get it.
It's on us to stop sexual assault.
Learn how and take the pledge at itsonus.org.
Welcome back to the Sugar Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuskegee Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. the number to call in if you want to leave me your voice message. You can do so at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in, as I'm doing the show remote this morning, so I don't have access to the phones. So if you're calling into the show, and I do have fans who call into my show, I'm not able to answer the phone this morning because I'm not in the studio. But you can still call in, like load up the voicemail, the program director or tech ops will forward them to me, and then during the next show, I will respond to them accordingly. In sports, we learn that each fan base has a particular personality. And there's a variety of factors as to how these fan bases develop each personality that it has, especially in the NFL. All 32 fan bases across the league are not the same. If anything, each and every one of them are unique in their own way. We all know about Bills Mafia, you know, getting bodies slammed into the tables and going wild at tailgates and everything and so forth, but they're incredibly passionate. We all know about the Patriots fan base here locally in New England. Passionate, starved for a winner, another Super Bowl championship winner. But in a way, spoiled. And that's okay, but that's 20 years of championship greatness will do. And then there's the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys are the fan base in which I liken them to be a bad breakup that has been coupled by PTSD, followed by bad misfortune and the inability to move on from the ex. And that's how I look at the Cowboy fan base. Reason is because I am inspired by Skip Bayless of Fox Sports. I really am. The man has been a Cowboy fan since day one. I admire his passion for the Dallas Cowboys. But if there's one thing that I know that is a fact about the Cowboys, especially the fan base, because not so much the team and the organization, but it's the fans. They love to talk about the past. They love to make excuses each and every single time they get embarrassed on national TV. Skip Bayless is no different. And I know a lot of you are rolling your eyes or like, well, this guy's a Yankee fan. You should know a lot about talking about the past. Difference is, we don't go whining about it on national TV when we lose or try to make excuses. And that's exactly where my problem lies. You see, you've gone so long without capturing the golden gift, whatever that golden gift may be to you in your life, that you absolutely foam at the mouth at any sort of flirtation and attention you may get. And the only reason why you get that attention is because you are still the flamed out high school football star that happens to get attention at the 25th year anniversary reunion of your high school graduating class. That's it. That's all it really is. The Dallas Cowboys, following their Sunday night loss to the Philadelphia Eagles, who are the only unbeaten team in the NFL at 6-0, they, again, for comedic reasons, never cease to amaze me into thinking, man, they really love to make excuses or just live in the past, as I just said. If anything else, they'll make excuses. Skip Bayless was making excuses as to why Cooper Rush was not successful against that Eagle defense. Especially when you had Fletcher Cox breathing down his neck, Jordan Davis out of the University of Georgia, defending national champions, breathing down his neck. But here come the excuses. The excuses, they run like clockwork. Like a late MBTA commuter rail. They run like clockwork, and they never cease to piss you off. And that is something that really gets under my skin, is when you are a person that is full of excuses as to why you come up short year after year after year, and the only thing you have is, but, no buts. The only buts that should even remotely have you curious is the bus that continue to show up week in and week out in Dallas, wondering why their team is a perpetual failure. That's the only bus that should interest you. I mean, as for me, I'll be honest. I am a butt man. I admire that the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders are among the best in the NFL. I really do. However, the truth is, the Dallas Cowboys fan base, they continue to entertain us all with the very thought and idea that we can continue to come up with excuses why you come up short when the lights shine brightest. But can we be honest with ourselves for just a moment? Cooper Rush has been a great story. He is. And what he's done up until this point has been nothing short of remarkable. Let's be honest. He's not going to steal the starting quarterback job away from Dak Prescott. That's not going to happen. But yet, the Cowboys did have an opportunity to win their game against the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday night, but they just did not get the job done. You want to blame the run game? Go ahead, fine. Ezekiel Elliott isn't the same running back anymore. You want to go ahead and blame the offensive line for the Dallas Cowboys that at times struggled against this Eagles pass rush that is getting better and better with each and every passing week? You can go ahead and do that too. But the fact of the matter is, when you are an organization that hasn't won a Super Bowl in 27 plus years, it gets kind of embarrassing. It gets embarrassing, not the fact you haven't won in so long, but you have media pundits like, for example, Skip Bayless, Marcus Spears, and I'm just using those two as an example. They love to get on their stage at the networks that they work at, Marcus Spears of ESPN and Skip Bayless, as you all know, of Fox Sports, and come up with excuses. That's all I hear. Yeah, sure, their takes, their opinions, but they're just excuses as to why they continue to come up short on national television. It's just the truth. But back to the fans for just a moment. Isn't it comical you just scroll up and down Twitter and you see comment number one, well, the Cowboys, it's like they were due to lose one. I mean, the Eagles are the best team in the NFL. Yeah, they are. They are right now. They are the best team in the NFL right now, in my humble opinion. Offensively, defensively, they've been it. The only weakness is that their passing attack does leave much more to be desired, but it's still pretty damn good. And what an addition A.J. Brown has been to play alongside Devontae Smith, who's getting better and better as a young receiver in this league, and he's only going to get better. But let's face it, sports and certain fan bases, you are afforded a privilege of a lifetime to carry an air of grand splendor. The Yankees are one of those franchises in sports. You can walk around as a Yankee fan anywhere in the world, and there's an air of grand splendor. You can be a Montreal Canadiens fan, and as much as I hate those idiots up there north of the border, there's an air of gravitas that they walk around with. And that's just the truth. But here's what's interesting, though. What's interesting is that all three of those franchises haven't won championships in so long. The Yankees haven't won since 2009. The Montreal Canadiens haven't won the Stanley Cup since 1993. And the Dallas Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl since 1995. Yet, there's a rarefied air that surrounds those three franchises. But it's the fans who find ways, especially Dallas Cowboy fans, to come up with excuses, just ways as their aunties will come up with new recipes to come up with their raisin potato salads at picnics. That's exactly what this is. I'm not angry. I'm not upset. If anything else, I look at the fan base and I say, good Lord, don't let that team ever win the Super Bowl again. At least not in the next 10, 15 years. Because I'm going to tell you something. That family just wouldn't know what to do with themselves. They really wouldn't. It's been so long. It's been so long. How about them Cowboys? Yeah, how about them Cowboys? Still choking? You know, grasping for any sort of chance that they can get to maybe win a title? Maybe they should consider maybe selling their souls to the devil if that's the case. I mean, the same way that the Chicago Cubs fan base and ownership practically sold their souls to the devil for 2016. And now that organization is in the midst of another rebuild. Isn't that funny how life works sometimes? You want something so bad. You want a championship so bad. Both in sports and in life. Life, it could be you want that relationship. You want that job. You want that status so bad that you're willing to sell your soul to get it. It don't matter how you get it, but you just got to have it. And that is where the toxicity comes in. It ruins you. It ruins you as a person. It ruins your identity. It ruins what made you you. What made you even appealing in the first place. Now I look at the Cowboy fan base and I say, man, you're passionate. You're loyal. I'll give you that. But let's be honest. Even at 4-2, with Dak Prescott getting closer and closer to returning, why should I be sold on the Dallas Cowboys being one of the top teams in the NFC come December or January? Why should I be sold? I'd like for someone to please tell me. In fact, call me and leave a voice message. I'll listen and I'll respond. 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. On a morning in which that, let's face it, it's Tuesday morning and there is a lot going on in sports, not just only in Boston, but nationally. So I want to use these next however amount of time that I got left to just talk about it all. Get it all out of my chest. Get it out of my system. Why not? Because after all, this is Sports Talk Radio, right? I'm here to give you my opinion. You ain't got to like it. You ain't got to agree. But you're going to hear what the hell I got to say. And in the words of Stone Cold Steve Austin, and that's the bottom line because Shukri writes said so. That's basically me. Oh, man. I can't believe we are now in the midst of fall foliage season, the changing of the colors. The only thing that hasn't changed colors-wise is the Dallas Cowboys and their ineptitude and, dare I say, their putrid ways of whining and complaining. Womp womp. That hasn't changed. Will it ever change? No. But I'm going to enjoy the comedic relief that comes along with it because it just happens every single time without fail. What more can you possibly ask for? Oh, man. The NFL season has been incredible so far. A lot of surprises. I mean, no one could have predicted the New York Giants being 5-1 going into week 7 of the regular season. And if you told me at the beginning of this season, going back to training camp and preseason, that the Philadelphia Eagles would be at 6-0 going into week 7 after the conclusion of last night's Monday night matchup, I would have told you there's no way. I think the Eagles will be good this year, but I didn't think that they'd be this good. The Cowboys, I mean, let's be honest. Overall, as much as I just spent completely trashing the fan base, I'll give the team actual credit. When Dak Prescott went down with that thumb injury back in week 1 on that Sunday night opener against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I didn't expect them to be 4-2. If anything, I thought that the season was going to go down crashing and burning. But they have been a pleasant surprise. And they're about to be in for another surprise. And I'm talking about in the form of a losing streak. I'm banking on it. I'm serious. I'm really banking on it. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. When will it happen? Because ultimately, some teams and some organizations in sports, they just have that choking, that collapse DNA that's embedded firmly within. The Cowboys are one of those. They really are. It's not a matter of if, it's only a matter of when. So we're going to step aside and take a break, but coming up on the other side of the break, we love drama, don't we? There's one reason why there's a particular drama that is somewhat non-existent, but of course you have to make something out of nothing. I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm talking about coming up on the other side of the break. You're listening to The Shook and Right Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Touchview Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app, globally on WMFO.org.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
I want to be a rocking chair on
when
a sunny
I grow up,
porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be
a...
I
want
to
be
a...
I want to be
a... I want to be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Hey! Is that a faucet running?
Nope, that's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest.
It is?
Yeah, forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink. The water comes straight from the forest to us, in fact.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
How do trees clean the air?
They soak up the dirty air on their leaves, branches, and trunks, which means clean air for us.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yep. But the forest does more than give us clean air and water. It gives us shade for hot days, birds to listen to, and trees to climb.
Wow. That's awesome. I didn't know how cool the forest could be. Hey, let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does, just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Listen. My life changed because someone was there to get me to use drugs. No one can understand. Whether or not they've struggled with addiction themselves, people seem to think that having someone who will listen is gonna help make it better. I'm realizing that I need help.
I'm listening.
I need help. I'm realizing that I think that having someone who will listen is going to help make it better. Whether or not they've struggled with addiction themselves, people seem to understand. No one can get me to use drugs. My life changed because someone was there to listen.
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council.
Different face and posting on their feed, they're super ugly. The things they say to them online are cruel and they're not true. So tell your friend, I'll stand up for you. Don't worry, I know what to do. Oh, tell the world I see with an emoji to stop the.
Know someone who's being bullied online? Send the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more about the witness emoji at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, but you can't drive high.
Friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Strictly Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Touch Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. It's 8:40 in the morning on this Tuesday morning here in the greater Boston area, as I'm pretty sure most of you are either making your way to work or maybe you're dropping off your kids at school or daycare or whatever. Either way, I hope all of you are having a great start to your Tuesday morning. I'm happy to be back on the airwaves with you, doing what I love, and that is talking sports, among other things. But either way, I'm here to simply give you my opinion and my thoughts and my perspective on how I view what's happening in sports. And I'm going to take a different approach to the show from here on out as I continue to grow and evolve as a personality, both in radio and as well as a media personality. I'm not just going to stick to just doing local. I'll talk local sports, absolutely. That's never going to change. But as far as talking sports, I'm going to introduce some national topics as well. So if you've been listening to the show from the beginning this morning, you've noticed the change already, where I didn't start local. I started talking about the national issues, like people complaining about baseball's postseason format needing to change, and I just wasn't hearing it. But either way, change is a good thing. It shows growth and a willingness to learn and a willingness to do better. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in to leave me a voice message, as, again, I am not in studio, so I do not have access to the phones. But if you want to still call me, leave me a voice message or voice your opinions, your displeasures with anything that I may have said, go ahead. That's the number to call in to do that. The number one thing that I believe that is an undeniable fact and truth is that a lot of us really love drama. It's something that you can't escape from. Like, it's something that you need to in order to make life rather a bit more interesting. And I'm talking both men and women, period. Humans. Humans love drama. And in sports, there is no difference between the real world and sports, which is oftentimes, as I like to say, fantasy line, as in it is not real life. And because sports oftentimes takes us away from our troubles, that there are certain moments in times where things will happen and that will lead up to drama. And that's just a given fact. See, in New England, it's no different. This city thrives off drama. If you think about it, there's a lot of truth to what I'm saying. And I'm speaking figuratively and in some way, literally. Boston sports fans have grown accustomed to drama in the last 20 years of success that this region has experienced with championships by all the local teams. When is Boston sports media at its absolute best? It is at its absolute best when there's a story or when there's some sort of controversy that is happening. I mean, go look at the most recent examples that we've had in recent years. Deflategate. And then also, don't forget the Seth Wickersham story that he wrote back in 2017. Also, let's not forget about the Red Sox in terms of when they first fired their former president of baseball operations, Dave Dombrowski, the drama that surrounded the organization in terms of that back in 2019. Less than a year removed from the World Series title, he gets canned. And then they go out and they hire Chaim Bloom. And we all know about the drama that existed. especially with the report that came out from Jared Carabas on his podcast and how that became a talking point during the Red Sox season this past year. And then don't even get me started about the Celtics with Ime Udoka. The point is, this city thrives on drama in Boston sports. So the New England Patriots finding themselves suddenly having two quarterbacks is not really surprising how it's becoming a storm of controversy, a storm of epic proportions, something that we haven't seen since Tom Brady decided that he was going to walk out the door back in March of 2020. Because let's be honest with ourselves. The Patriots did not fully know what they had in Bailey Zappe. Many fans didn't really know, including myself. I'd be the first to admit that I didn't know what we had in terms of Bailey Zappe, what his capabilities are. But here we are. How fast life can change. Isn't it amazing? Bailey Zappe is another example of what happens when you stay ready and you stay patient and you stay ready for the moment. I don't think Bailey Zappe himself could have told you that. He thought that his first opportunity was going to come when Brian Hoyer got injured in that Green Bay game. I don't think he could have told you that. But ever since then, it has built. Ever since that game, especially that Sunday night, after the Patriots lost to the Green Bay Packers in overtime, it became a talking point in terms of what happens here. We have Bailey Zappe, who played well, and when it became clear that Mac Jones wasn't ready to come back and Brian Hoyer was going to be in concussion protocol, Zappe was the only man left standing. And he performed extremely well in a game against the Detroit Lions. And he follows that up with an outstanding performance against the Cleveland Browns on Sunday. Now suddenly people in the Boston sports media are wondering, is he the guy moving forward? Should he be the guy moving forward? And I'm going to be very blunt with you, the fan, and give you my honest thought and tell you, hell yes, Bailey Zappe should be the quarterback for the New England Patriots moving forward. Because the reasons are pretty clear. If you're still a Mac Jones loyalist, and I'm not putting the man down by any stretch of the imaginations, as last year, terrific story, rookie, and then being a 15th overall pick and performing admirably very well in his rookie season. But let's be honest, he's regressed in his second year. And that's just calling it for the truth that is. And now Bailey Zappe is, you could say he's coming for his job through his performance. He may not be out there saying, yo, I want Mac Jones's job, period. To hell with him. He's not doing that. But through his play, he's showing that he is more than capable of leading an offense from the depths of ineptitude to suddenly becoming a pretty viable offense. I mean, it's been pretty damn impressive to see what the Patriots have been able to do in the last two games alone. But it's the Lions, but it's the Browns. It doesn't matter who the opponent is. I'm not saying that this Patriots offense has become world beaters. But if you're going to tell me between what you saw from Mac Jones in week one and in week two, and even the Ravens game before he got injured, is any different from what you've seen from Bailey Zappe, I would tell you, yes, it is very much different night and day in terms of how this offense is moving the ball up and down the field. And what's amazing to me is the people that are still not convinced. Listen, you don't have to have the fever, but I'll be the first to tell you, I have Zappe fever. I have it. He is the guy. It's pretty freaking clear at this point in time that Bailey Zappi's the guy. You mean to tell me, case in point, next week Monday, when they're playing on Monday Night Football against the Chicago Bears, that you're going to stop all the momentum and go back to Mac Jones? And let's just say Mac Jones is still having the issues that he had prior to his injury, turnover machine, and unable to sustain drives the way that Bailey Zappi has. You're going to be screaming for the head of Matt Patricia, Joe Judge, even direct some of your criticism and vitriol against Bill Belichick. But then you would wonder, why did this offense suddenly take a step backward? That would be the reason why. To tell you that you have been scarred by such bad quarterback play is probably an understatement. You have been spoiled by 20 years of competent quarterback play from Tom Brady. You went through a bad stretch with Cam Newton under center. Then last year, there was debate between who should be the starting quarterback, Cam Newton or Mac Jones. Mac Jones won the job. And then Mac Jones did not play well in the first 2.5 games of the season. And now you've seen in the last 2.5 games that Bailey Zappi has outperformed Mac Jones up until this point. So that leads me to ask the question, Boston. Why are you attached to Mac Jones? I thought that you were all about winning. Because I have said this on Twitter, and I am going to say this again on radio, that I'm in the business of winning. Winning is all I care about. And that's all that you should care about. The whole idea that Mac Jones has to be the guy once he returns is absolutely asinine. And that's putting it very nicely. You mean to tell me that you're willing to go back to the guy who has absolutely, at times, been the reason why the Patriots were losing earlier in the season and things were not going well? Then I am convinced that you are truly a sports masochist. You love pain in the form of sports. You love pain so much that you're willing to go back to one of the reasons why the Patriots were struggling earlier on in the season, then move forward and stick to what actually has been working for you. I'm convinced if that's the reason why you want to go back to Mac Jones, I am convinced that you, my friend, you love to absolutely groan and complain. You want pain. So you're willing to go back to what is comfortable. Mac Jones is what's comfortable to you. He's comfortable because he was the guy the Patriots drafted 15th overall. You fell in love with him in some cases, but in many cases, many of you, including myself, fell in like with Mac Jones. And with that, you became attached. It basically is like you enter a new relationship with a new partner, and then too early, too soon, you become overly attached to that new partner, only to find out that that new partner is showing issues a year plus into the relationship. That's exactly what it is between Patriot fans and Mac Jones. And that's why some of you can't let go of the idea of Mac Jones potentially not being the guy when he gets healthy and that when he gets cleared by the doctors on the Patriots medical team. And my honest advice to you is this. Don't get attached. I'm not advocating for Bailey Zappi because I'm attached to the guy. That's not why. The reason why is because in the NFL, it's about winning games. Giving your team the best opportunity to win you games. I posed this question last week on my podcast, the Sugar Rights Podcast, which you can listen to on iHeartRadio and as well as all other podcast platforms, I basically said the NFL is all about winning and all about giving your team the best chance to win. So why go back to a problem in Mac Jones in which you're going to basically cut your own nose to spite your own face? It's backwards. It's completely backwards. And that's not something that I'm willing to sign up for. And frankly, if anything else, I want the man to succeed. I really do. I really want Mac Jones to do well. However, it's about now. It's not about the future. It's not about 3-4 years from now. That's not what this is about. It's about right now and taking advantage of the opportunity that's in front of you. That's where we're at. The Patriots acknowledge, and I acknowledge, they're in the part of the schedule right now in which that they realize we're playing against a bunch of soft opponents. None of these opponents that are coming up pose any sort of credible threat. I mean, your next game is against the Chicago Bears. The only team in the next few weeks that I would be concerned about is the Jets. And I would even give some respect to the Minnesota Vikings as well. But I would even go and take it a step further. The Bears, don't even worry about it. The Jets, I don't think this is a team that you should overlook anymore. And it would be a colossal mistake for Patriot fans to overlook. The Colts, yeah. Yeah, you could kind of like scoff at them a little bit. And then you got the Jets again after your bye week. And then you got the Vikings on Thanksgiving night. So, you're in a critical stretch where the Patriots need to win games in order to stay in the playoff picture. You mean to tell me that you're willing to move on from the guy that helped you get back to 500 to go back to the quarterback who was, in other words, giving you and the team and the coaches problems? Come on. I don't think it's wise. I don't think it's wise one bit. Phone lines are open at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. 8:57 a.m. is the time now. This is now the conclusion of hour number one of the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Hour number two is coming up next. We got a lot more to get to, so stick around. Don't go anywhere. Don't turn that radio dial. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuscaloosa, Farm Radio.
Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called inventnow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the Instado. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. And you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, a fitness writer, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Like many of the million people who are living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every single day. And sometimes my nerves are so raw that if you brushed up against me in an elevator, I'd scream. I can't sleep at night from the pain, and sometimes the spasms in my legs are so intense they will wake me up throughout the night. I've tried the strongest prescription medications available, and I'm gonna tell you, they do not work. In fact, they leave me in a stupor, and most of the time, it's impossible to even live your life. Now, I've tried medical marijuana, and I'm gonna tell you something, it works. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1